we teeter-tottering right on the brink of going to mess up the Sunday sermon. We got there three times and backed off. I like it when it's like that, don't you? It's called the manifested presence of the Lord. And I'm still testing the air. You don't take off in high turbulent winds. Flip you over. And he's already up and he can't hardly land. See, you can't land. You can't take it up when it's turbulent, and you can't bring it down. But you can pop a happy bubble, no matter where you is. I think what I'm going to do is we're going to be less than 10 minutes. They've been with me before, Brother Kent. No, I don't. I feel that probably what's in my soul and what is in the heart of God this morning doesn't require a message per se. He's here. He's here. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be an eternal week. You ought to be glad you go to church where they don't have church for the world to like it, but they have church for the Lord to like it. Because the eternal thing is the only thing going to change our lives. Jesus said, the world hated me, the world's going to hate you. You ain't going to change that. You ain't going to outsmart that. What I want to do is show you what the Lord showed me in the Scriptures this past week. And I don't feel I'm going to preach it. And I don't feel it's necessary. But I feel like I need to show it to you. And now they have made one mistake around here this morning. They have told me that there's hot food on the premises. That's good for you, and that's bad for you. That's good for you because I know it's right back there, and as soon as I hush, I can go get it. But that's bad for you because I know it's right back there, and I ain't got to be in no hurry. Look at Genesis 14. I just want to show you something. Genesis chapter 14. Let's stand and I'll pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for how you breathed on us already. Oh God, help us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now you can be seated. Thank you. I'm going to be in the chapter. I'll forget your standing and just keep you there. I think I just need to show this to the church preacher, and I think that's all I'm supposed to do today. First mention of war. The first mention of war in your Bible is in Genesis 14, verse 2. That these made war. Now, there are several battles in this chapter. And I want to say this. There are wars and rumors of war. All right, I need more than five people to be excited about that. Let's try it again. We live in the hour, Matthew 24. We're in the last days. And there are wars and rumors of war. Now, I just seen this on Wednesday, studied it on Thursday, preached it on Friday. And you're getting leftovers on Sunday. But leftovers are always better. The flavor's locked in. It's brand new. And I just feel like showing you. Because everything in the book of Genesis is pointing to things we'd be living in at the end of the Bible. Right, let's try that again. Everything God put in the front of the Bible was to help the outfit that would be living at the end of the Bible. Corinthians 10. These things, Old Testament scriptures, were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. And these first battles, I believe, was a direct, prophetic, and powerful and precise picture of the final battles. The first battles that you see in the Bible was just God painting us a picture of how we could get through the battles. We'd be facing them same battles at the end of the Bible. All right, y'all ain't buying into that real good. Let's try it again. That Old Testament was given. God let men live out their entire lives, have trials, troubles, battles, and burdens, just so we could watch. He wanted to help His bride get to the wedding. All right, y'all ain't helping me right there. That cost you 4 minute penalty right there. My food's back here. Y'all in trouble. You better cooperate. So let's try it again. God wanted to get His bride to the wedding. And He wrote a whole Old Testament to show her how. So y'all, if you do real good, I take minutes back off. Now, well, it's good. Here it is. So I saw this, and I think I don't even need to preach them out this morning. I think there's enough Holy Ghost here. If I say them, you'll see them. And if you're in one of these battles, and we're all in them, it'll make sense, and I won't have to explain much. I'm going to give you all six. Here they come. And for the young preachers in the building, for the young preachers, you boys, take the pressure off yourself. Quit trying to write sermons and just find them. They're in the Bible. Preach the Bible. All right? There's six of them. And we're not making this up. They're right here in front of us. God put them there. There are... All right, I felt me a little happy bubble right there. There are several first mentions in this chapter. I've already told you the first mention of war. There's the first mention of 13 and the first mention of rebellion. There's 10 kings fighting in this chapter. Wonder if anybody can smell the second coming in this chapter. The 10 toes on the Roman, the empire, or the Daniel's beast. I said there's 10 kings at battle here. And God's king shows up at the end of this chapter, Melchizedek. All right, y'all ain't helping me. I said there's 10 kings battling, and then here comes the priest king. All right, that cost you 2 minutes. For acting like Lutherans and Presbyterians. Let's try it again. There's 10 kings fighting, but at the end of the thing, God's king shows up. All right. They made war. There's several first mentions in here. War. The number 13, which is the number of the Antichrist and the number of rebellion. There it is in verse 4. And they look here, verse 4. 12 years, they served Cheddar Lamar. I'm pretty sure that ain't how you say it. Cheddar Lamar. But I'm pretty sure I didn't listen to Alexander Scorby. And I'm pretty sure that's how I'm going to say it because none of y'all know either. That's old Cheddar Lamar. He's a big bad king from Persia. He got four brothers. Mozzarella Lamar, Provolone Lamar, Swiss Lamar, And they got one brother wrapped in plastic and sliced American cheese. Hallelujah. That's old Cheddar Lamar. 12 years they served. 13th year they rebelled. And 14 years came Cheddar Lamar. And he took over and changed things. Now, this is worth mentioning. The meaning of these numbers. 12 is the number of divine government. And 12 years they served. I'm about to run. 13 is the number of rebellion and the Antichrist. But 14 is the number of a generational shift. Anytime you see the number 14 in the Scriptures, God is bringing a generation of that over. That ought to give you a happy bubble. 14 years Jacob served. And then he became that husband, that father, that leader. In the 14th year, you read Matthew 1:17 this afternoon. The 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Babylon. And 14 from Babylon unto Christ. Honey, that number 14 will bring... Paul was the 14th apostle. Y'all ain't helping me. I don't preach by myself. It's too hard. Y'all got to help me. Paul was the 14th apostle. His 12, Judas, full of Satan, went out and hanged himself and did the lots and chose Matthias, his 13th. Paul's number 14. And that thing shifted from the Jews to the Gentiles. Y'all ain't helping me. What year is it this year? 2013. What year is it next year? Wonder if God's going to shift back from the Gentiles to the Jews. I'm getting scrambled. At 14. Y'all can get out from underneath all this depression. You turn the news off and pick your Bible up. I'm going to say that again. Y'all get out from underneath all this oppression, depression. If you turn off your country music and your Fox News, you got in trouble. And pick up your Bible and get them unclean spirits off of you. They're vexing you. Y'all ain't helping me. You ain't helping me. Hang up the phone on them gossipers, honey, and pick up your Bible. The economy's always been messed up. Ever since Adam sinned and got kicked out of a good deal. Been trying to fix it ever since. There ain't never a government worked. There ain't never been a good marriage since they all got messed up. It's always been this bad. They wasn't a beer joint, a Hollywood theater. They wasn't a dirty book. They wasn't a TV show nowhere. And one boy got saved and his brother killed him for it. It's always been tough. It's always been this bad. But God's always been good. He's always been there. Oh, now put down all that unclean stuff. It's vexing your righteous soul. It's vexing you. Vexation. Oh, that lot of unclean stuff, and it'll quit vexing you. Pick up your Bible, and honey, you can pop a happy bubble no matter what century you're living in, no matter what family you're in, no matter how good your marriage is, how bad it is, no matter how you lost your job or you got a promotion. Honey, things in this world ain't got nothing to do with being hooked up in that world. Come to camp meeting this week. Hunt you a front pew. Believe everything God says. Get all that vexation off of you. We're the generation of Lot. We vex our righteous soul from day to day. And seeing and hearing their unlawful deeds. And lose our mind. You tell me the man didn't lose his mind. Took his two virgin daughters and thrust them out the door to please them bunch of those demon-possessed men. Tell me he ain't lost his mind. He vexed his righteous soul. Not preaching to me. I'm going down the road. The Holy Ghost said, turn off Russ. I want to talk to you. I like Russ. It's more entertaining. And I wished I was as good a Christian as some of you, but sometimes I leave Russ on. That's bad. I got to confess that, ain't it? They come drag in and act like a bunch of y'all. Yeah. 12, 13, 14. Here's what I want to tell you. Right here in this great text with all these first mentions of war and rebellion and 13, these things, there's some other first mentions. There's the first mention of a priest. First mention of a king. First mention, Brother Jody, of bread and wine. First mention of tithe. The end of the chapter. Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. Abraham turned around and gave him a tenth of all he had. Some of y'all ain't figured that out. Let me explain it. Jesus gave you His body and His blood. Least you can do is give back part of what He gave you. All right, here's your six. Somebody told a lie about that 10-minute deal. Somebody storied to y'all. That may have been me. Just let me show them to you. I think it'll settle in your hearts. The first battle is in verse 3. Now, I'm not going to go into the circumstances and the details. You study that later. There was just wars and rumors of wars with several nations. And is that not the hour we live? And here's what amazed me about it, is in verse 3, the first war was in the plain of Sodom. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. And it was the king of Sodom, there in verse 2. And y'all just hear me out. The first battle in your Bible was down there with the Sodomites. I just want to say this. Is that not relevant to the hour that we live? Is that not relevant to our nation? Same-sex marriage. Does that not point right to the same abominations that forced God to wipe out the first, clean the planet up with flood, and it's going to force Him again to do it with fire? And all I want to say about this battle of the Sodomites is these abominations are after our children. And here's, underline this in verse 10. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. I can smell a Pharisee at 250 yards. With my hands tied behind my back, looking the other way, and a congested head. I can still smell a Pharisee. And I have no use for mean-spirited, religious, self-righteous people. I never have. And that's always grossed me out. From a boy to now, I never have liked a Pharisee. And neither do I like a slime pit in Sodom. And if there's a slime pit somewhere nearby, and somebody better warn them. You can't get out of them. You can't get out of a slime pit. And look how this thing ends up. Verse 10, and the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained never saw it. Hey, seen it just now, boys. Seen it just now. I'm studying with y'all. And they that remained fled to the mountain. I've never seen that as just now. That's costing y'all 3 minutes. My extra little study. Honey, if you ain't fell in the slime pit this morning, you can run to Calvary's Hill. All right, you didn't get it. I'm sorry you didn't get it. What, you got Lutheran grandparents? Let's try again. Let's try again. The kings fell into the slime. And by the way, That's where all of these world rulers, principalities of powers and authorities and that are against God, honey, they're going to end up in hell. And if you fall in one, you can't get out of your own accord. Only way you can get out of a slime pit is somebody comes after you with a rescue team. Stretch a bridge across that thing, tie off on several things, and some men coordinate together to reach down in there and pull you out. I wished I had somebody. God can get you out of a slime pit in Sodom. If you ain't fell in one yet, I got a mountain I'd highly recommend you to flee to. I said, I got a mountain I'm going to recommend. Honey, if you ain't in a slime pit yet, I'm glad you can run to Calvary's Hill. All right. You quoted it this morning already. Romans 1 said that many of those given over to this perverse behavior are given over and given up. But there's a season there because we got other scriptures. Before you get hung up in that slime pit and drowned in it and die in it, there are some that escape. Corinthians 6 talked about effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, referring to this very sin of the Sodomites. And in the next verse he said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by His Spirit. And there is a space of grace that you can repent of that fornication, and God will reach down in that horrible pit of miry clay and pull you out. It's a battle of the Sodomites. Number two, y'all got to hurry now. Verse 5. In the 14th year came Chedor Lamar. And the kings that were with him. Now listen, he was the Persian king, is the strongest king. This was an invasion from the east. I need somebody to help me. Invasion from the east. Don't make me preach this. New age. Occultic. Hindu meditation, vegetarians who would fight you over killing an animal but applaud you for killing a baby in the womb. Nimrod was sent to the east. It was Cain that was sent to the east out from the presence of the Lord. And all your strong, demonic, heavy-duty, bad stuff from hell comes from the east. And from the Orient. And even China, communist China, exemplifies this very point. The cruelty and the callousness of a seared conscience. And over yonder they'll worship roaches and snakes and frogs. I'm talking about India and alligators, and the people are starving by the hundreds of thousands, and cattle are walking around and they can't eat steak because they think it's grandpa reincarnation or Aunt Sally. Amen. I've got an aunt that reminds me of an old heifer I know, but that, I ain't an Indian. I shouldn't have said that, Brother Corbett, but that's another doctrine. That's a southern thing. It ain't a Hindu thing. Amen. Amen. You know you're thinking about one of your great aunts too, so quit. Y'all quit. I'll throw something at you. I got news for you. I said there was an invasion from the east. And if you think the spirit world, the mediums, the wizards, the witches, the ghost hunters, the dragons, the zombie movies, all an invasion from the east. God saved Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and sent him west to run into the king of Salem, ancient Jerusalem. And he met, I'm glad I didn't go east, wrap a towel around my head, honey, worship some bug somewhere, call on Allah. I'm glad God sent me west. I met the priest king of the Most High God from Jerusalem. Invasion from the east. Invasion from the east. And honey, I believe something now. Y'all don't tell anybody else, they'll think we're crazy. I'm going to eat in about 4 minutes. You come with me. You get behind us in line, but you come with us. Me and him's going first. Something I believe. Why is every other movie, and they just come out with World War Z, the zombies. You tell me why every other movie and every other commercial and every other, and now we in Halloween season, you're going to see them, honey. And I was in town yesterday and everybody's dressed up like them. You tell me why there's always an army of marching dead people possessed by spirits. You know a zombie. You know what a zombie is. Is it all right to preach on this on Sunday morning? You know what a zombie is, honey. It is a dug up corpse that is animated and activated by an indwelling demon that moves into it. I've seen video footage myself out of Jamaica and Haiti. There's a reason there's 14-foot bears around with glass and spear points in New Orleans around every graveyard. Honey, them witch doctors need a corpse for their demon to enter into. You ain't hearing me. Why is every other thing on Hollywood coming out of hell presenting an army of marching dead people to eat the humans? Does anybody not know that we're in the arena of the second coming as we speak? The fact that none of us are looking for Him is one of the biggest signs He's about to come. Everybody's looking to get closer to Atlanta and make more money. You might ought to look to getting closer to heaven and lay up your treasures in another world. Get rich over there, not over there. Y'all ain't helping me. Here's what I think. Brother Bowman, Brother Harrison, I ain't heard nobody else say that. I just think the Holy Ghost in meditation. An invasion from the east. That 200 million man army, Brother Harrison. Me and you growed up and them old prophecy preachers taught us right. And they said they're coming from that. And the Chinese only people got that number of an army. Now what I think is they're going to be killed and wiped out. The bomb of some sort. And I believe all them devils loosed out of hell in that tribulation are going to enter into their bodies. And they're going to stand back up. And they're going to be marching dead corpses all over the tribulation period. Why you think the devil's brainwashing and getting us prepared for marching dead people? And you say, I don't believe in marching dead people. Go to Walmart. Go to the mall. Go to any gathering where the world is. And you already got marching dead people indwelt by devils. It's just they're going to be twice dead. Y'all hear me? Honey, I've been twice born. They're going to be twice dead for it. So y'all ain't helping me. I mentioned this the other day preaching. And a learned man came to me and said, you need to go Google. I said, what'd you tell me to do? I slap you, sir. Don't you be Googling me. He said, no, he's trying to explain it to me. It's something on the computer. So I asked Chloe, my 7-year-old, and she did the procedure for me. She Googled. I said, girl, I didn't know you could Google. What you want from daddy? I got a flip phone, 12 years old, and I'm keeping it. Them smartphones making y'all look like dummies, I can tell you that. I see all y'all. Anyway, I ain't doing the smartphone. Y'all looking dumb with them things. And that preacher told me, you look up the Terracotta Army. Do y'all remember when they uncovered that? The underground Chinese army? And they already got thousands and thousands. Disney World's got an exhibition of them. And said the Chinese, I didn't even know this. That they're teaching there is an unknown force coming back at the end of time to indwell that army, and they're going to raise back up. You seen that? Honey, I got news for you. I don't know about all that and how all that works, but y'all better hear me. Our youngins on the campuses of secular universities have been invaded by everything hell could cook up from the east. And that's why it's the end thing for girls to be with girls, boys to be with boys. It's the end thing to be a witch. And they say it's a good witch. And they tell me the twilight, what it is, it just twilight? They said, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that, preacher. It's a love story. She's in love with that vampire. Honey, I got news for you. The Antichrist. He's going to be the man of sin to the middle of the tribulation. Be assassinated with a sword. Get that wound to his right arm, right eye, right side of it. And then Satan's going to enter into him and raise back up. He's going to be the son of perdition then. Satan enter into him, break that peace covenant with Israel. And then great tribulation should come. Well, how are we going to get the world to love a demon-possessed corpse? Maybe show them Twilight for 15 years. And get them all ready to fall in love with a demon-possessed corpse. Y'all ain't helping me. That sign said it's the home of old-time religion. Old-time religion's more than shouting. It's holiness, too. It's holy living. It's Bible preaching. Invasion from the east. Ain't nobody going to get saved in these hours until these spirits get rebuked off of them. They got a stronghold. And the only thing that will rebuke an evil spirit is Holy Ghost preaching. Not smart aleck preaching. Not goofy preaching. Holy Ghost gospel preaching. Bible preaching. But men that have compassion. Men not trying to hurt people. Men trying to deliver people. I promise you, if I pull in my backyard, there's two spiders and three snakes on my little girl and a bad man. I'm killing everything but her. Y'all ain't hearing me. I'm a killing everything but her. And we're so backwards in this hour. We don't mind the devil's killing our children. And we'll help them evil things are killing them. We'll help them live. It's as backwards an hour as we've ever seen. Oh, preacher, I'm like you now. I'm trying to hush now. I gotta close. Let me close this thing. I mean, it's 19 after. I hope y'all are all right. Here's a third battle. Israel goes to war. It's the first mention, Brother Corbett. I'm in chapter 14, verse 13. First mention of a Hebrew. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. And Abram loaded up and got his army ready. And he went to war. And ain't it something to be a Christian? We can be down in one chapter and up in the next. Sister Bowman, you ladies will all preach. Jennifer would love this if she is here. In chapter 13, Abram couldn't get enough guts about him to whip one king for his wife. In the next chapter, he whipped five kings for his nephew. Oh, Jennifer, she wish she is here. She'd like for me to get on the altar right there. Ain't we something how we're up and down? But we always have been. God just has to help us mature. In chapter 13, he wouldn't fight. He wouldn't, or chapter 12, he wouldn't fight one king for his wife. And then here, and she was a good godly wife. She called him Lord. Simon Peter said she called him Lord. Jennifer called me Lord just last week. She said, my Lord, Dean. And I said, that's right, woman. Don't you ever forget that. And you remember as when she got 20 yards away. And don't you remember? Forget that. Got it mixed up again. Yes, she said, my Lord. I felt pretty good about it after I processed it the way I wanted it processed. Yes, it's all about it, understanding what she really meant in her heart. She spoke it, and she meant it. I got news for you. The third battle, you got Israel going to war. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but we're fixing to be in a battle. Oh, I can tell y'all ain't been studying your Bible. World War III, I'm going to be in the middle of it. All right, I'm going to try this out. We're going to separate between the Christians and the Americans here. Americans holler over what happened yesterday. Christians holler over what happened today. I did a little hollering yesterday myself. I got news for you. World War I prepared the land for the people. British forces drove the Turkish Muslims out of Jerusalem. World War II prepared the people for the land. Adolf Hitler tried to kill the Jews, and all he managed to do was get them all gathered up in Jerusalem. You say, what about the 6 million he killed? There's a valley somewhere, and God's going to resurrect them bones. You better believe that's right. You better believe that's right. Honey, if he can rapture the church, he's going to resurrect the children of Israel. That's what he said. Ezekiel 37, valley of dry bones. World War II prepared the people for the land. And by the way, you quit moaning and groaning when them fiery, all them gas furnaces did was bring the Jews back to God. They don't know that yet. Got them back to Jerusalem. And they want to build the temple and they don't even know why. Them fiery furnaces y'all are in, he's just getting you back to church. You ain't helping me. I said them gas furnaces got the Jews back in Jerusalem, and them fiery furnaces just get y'all back on the altar. Honey, if he didn't half kill us, I'd be so sorry. I'd be so backslid. I'd be so ungodly. I'd be out there worse than the heathen. He wouldn't even recognize me if God didn't keep me. It ain't me keeping me. I'm wicked. I'm rotten. I'm filthy. I'm vile. It's the good hand of God breaking me down. Keeps me laid over and broken. And let me tell you something. Dr. Ken Bowman, you and the precious wife. She limping, you dragging. Laid on there like a big baby. I love Brother Ken. He's the biggest baby friend I have. Squalled around here all morning. Couldn't even hardly kneel on the altar. Y'all so broke up. You know what God's doing? He's delivering you from sinning in your old age. How come it is, Brother Corbin, all them great men of God, they don't sin until they're old? David, Solomon. We hear about them, and it's when they're old. You know what God did for Job? I'm about to run what I'm about to do. I'm about to run down the middle aisle. Tell you what God did for Job. That man loved God so much that God knew he couldn't let him stay rich and comfortable, or he'd forget God. God broke him into mean pieces. And he quit offering sacrifices and became the sacrifice. They kept him from sinning in his old age. You're too gifted and you're too blessed. And you'd be out, we'd lose you. But God... You lay on an altar in your wife's arm, not in somebody else's arm. Hey! And you laid on an altar, not over a bar stool. Y'all ain't hearing me. You're resisting and fighting God, and all He's doing is breaking you down, honey, so He can get you on an altar and get you out of the four corners of the world. Y'all ain't helping me. Honey, the best thing they'll ever do is drop a cross on you. It'll break you in half and you holler, oh, I can't live with this. this? And God says, I know. I'm meaning to kill you. You're such a problem, I'm going to need to kill you. And resurrect you. And you walk in my strength. And leave yours somewhere. Ain't you glad he breaks us down? Well, there's three other battles now. We don't need to mention them. Yes, sir. I'll give you the last if I want him. I've lied 10 times in this sermon. Y'all just let me say this. There was a battle for the brother that was lost. In verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. I said, in these last days, there's a battle for the brethren that have been taken captive. Lot was saved, but his children were lost. There's a battle for the lost children. There is a battle for the brother that was captive. I want to ask y'all a question. You know anybody who's running in front of your face right now? Whose face is in front of you right now? And that's a brother that's been taken captive. How many churches has the devil took over? How many preachers has the devil took over? How many ministries has he taken captive? How many of your relatives ain't here? They're out there and they're in bondage. Y'all ain't helping me. How many lost children you know? There's a battle. And then, number 5, there was a battle for Abraham's soul. In verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. Hey, Satan's after you. King of Sodom come out there to meet him after his victory. He's going to bribe him. But the king of Salem got there before the king of Sodom did. But verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. I'm going to say this one time. Y'all get it good or I'll penalize you 10 minutes. Satan was coming to get him. But before he could get there, the Most High Priest, king of Jerusalem, met him with bread and wine, the body and the blood, the cross of Calvary, the finished work of Christ, sacrifice. Ain't you glad that the king of Sodom was after you, but the king of Salem got there first? And then in the next verse, I got time to look at when the king of Sodom did get there, he couldn't do nothing with Abram. He'd already had a meeting with with Melchizedek. He done had bread and wine. He done had a blessing. He done had a prayer meeting. And he done tithed. And then here come the king of Sodom. And he said, give me the persons and you keep the goods. What verse is that, gentlemen? Verse 21. King of Sodom, that's his deal. You give me the souls of the men and you keep the spoils. Hey, old friend, I sure am glad you traded in them Pepsi Cola salaries and bonuses. You traded in the spoils for the souls. How many nervous breaks then did we go with him through just to get him out of Pepsi Cola? I don't know why it's so hard to leave Pepsi. I could never leave Diet Coke, but you can leave Pepsi like that. I never understood what was wrong right there. I mean, Diet Coke, I understand. That was his deal. Abraham, you keep the riches and the bounties. You just give me the souls of those men. He'd done had a meeting with Melchizedek. All right, I'm done. That's what y'all are doing. Satan's offering you a bribe. He wants your soul. And he'll give you whatever he's got to give you if he can have your soul. The sixth and final battle I seen there is in that bread and wine. That's one of the first Lord's Suppers ever taken in the Bible. And it was a picture. The priest bringing forth the bread and the wine. It was a picture. I'm going to need your help. Of the greatest battle that would ever take place. Of the greatest war. of the greatest campaign of really the only battle that would ever matter on this planet. The one when the Son of God hung between two worlds. Conquered one and conquested the other. And our Melchizedek, our Abraham came and got all of us out of our slime pits and out of our bondage. I'm going to ask the Corbetts to slip back to the music, please. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads while they come. Jimmy, y'all sing whatever the Lord lays on your heart, son. Folks, I really didn't think God was going to have me preach, but He did. How many of you understand that we're in a battle, we're in a war? I want everybody to stand, make it easy to come. Who'll come and get on this altar with me this morning? We're in a battle! We're in six of them. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's a war over your family. There's a war over your soul. There's a war over your church. There's a war over your children. Who'll come? Who'll come? Play for us, sis.